Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
Good morning, Faith Church. Come on, all campuses, stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise. It's beautiful. It's fall. In Florida, the humidity is down. In St. Louis, the temperatures are cool. Y'all, I almost took a walk today, except for it was raining. You know, I can always find an excuse not to exercise. Can I get an amen? But I always find an excuse to have my coffee. And before you sit down, who are my caffeinated Christians? Right? Because I love fall. I love fall, y'all. I love the harvest decor. I love the pumpkins. I love the corn stalks. I love the temperature. And I am that person who annoys you, and I post on my social media about the first pumpkin spice latte. So if you're a coffee drinker, if you can sit down. If you are not, stand up at all campuses. We want to pray for you. We know the Lord can deliver you too. One of the things I love about fall is that it is harvest season. Everybody say harvest season. What does that mean? That means that's when the food comes in. That means we are preparing to eat big meals. That means Thanksgiving is a coming and I need to buy my maternity pants. Right? But I believe that the Lord shows us things in the natural that are also manifested in the spirit. It's a physical picture of a spiritual precept. So this is harvest season. Tell your neighbor, it's harvest season. Ask your other neighbor, what are you bringing in? I'd had you ask the person on the other side because they were your second choice. Oh, I just got oohed. Did they ood all campus? I just got oohed. But what are you bringing in? Because this is not just the season for physical harvest. This is the season for spiritual harvest. Because we have had the Open Door in 24 campaign. Y'all, we met our campaign goals. We are planting in the ground two campuses in two states. We have seed in the ground. And when you have seed in the ground, you have the right to demand a harvest because it's a law. Everybody say, it's a law. So if you don't have all the harvest you want, my question is, why aren't you rolling in it? Let's not let the enemy steal it. There's a problem with harvest. There's a process to harvest. And there's a promise with harvest. How many of you want to know how to get out of the problem, get into the process so that you can get the promise? All campuses say amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to do today. Turn to your neighbor and say, Satan's not stealing my harvest. So the Lord first started giving me this precept on a Thursday morning. Thursday mornings I do my small group. I do it on Instagram Live and Facebook Live. I do this thing called Wake, Pray, Slay. It's at 7 a.m. Central. We get on, we pray. You're getting ready. You can't see me. You probably been there but didn't recognize it because I didn't have my makeup on. It's like, who is that lady? I don't know. I thought it was Pastor Nicole. No, that was me. And the Lord gave me this precept a few months ago, and it's been germinating. Get it? Harvest joke. I know that's so nerdy. It's been germinating on the inside of me, and it starts with the scripture, John 4:35. If you're a note taker at any of our campuses today, I encourage you to get a notebook out, because I know you know how to plant seed, because this church is full of tithers that opens the window of heaven and God pours out a blessing. This church is full of givers. That means you have seed in the ground that you can demand a 30, 60, 90, and 100-fold return now in this time. So why is there harvest and why is there blessing that is sitting out there that we don't have in our hands? I want to answer these questions. So let's go to John 4:35. In John 4:35, it starts off with where they're at. So you're seeing the scripture, but give me 1 second to set the context. Is that okay for you? Is it okay if I'm a whole Bible nerd? Okay. So what's going on is Jesus is in Samaria. Just to set the stage, Samaritans and Jews don't talk. Like, they have beef, okay? They're not sitting at the same table. They are not hanging out. They are not going to each other's Christmas parties. They don't talk. So for Jesus to be walking through Samaria, he's in an area that he's not supposed to be in. He's talking to a woman who is single, and she's been married 5 times. He's at a well that he shouldn't be drinking from. It's in the middle of the day at the time he shouldn't be drinking. He's a place he shouldn't be, a time he shouldn't be there, or somebody he shouldn't be there with. Y'all, this is setting up a good movie plot. And the disciples are like, Jesus, what are you, what up, boy? What are you doing? This is going to make a headline. Not a good one, bro. Back up, back up. He's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm about to give this woman living water she knows not of. And by the way, when he did that, she became the first female evangelist to win a city to Jesus and the first one to preach Jesus to a city, y'all. And as the disciples are sitting there, they're sitting there looking around at people that they don't like and that don't like them. And Jesus says in John 4:35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then we get the harvest? Everybody say, and then. Don't put off to tomorrow what God has for you today. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white with harvest. The disciples are like, I see Samaritans. Jesus says, I see opportunity. I see a harvest that you can't even get in your spirit. You're looking at problems. You're looking at things that we shouldn't do. You're looking at places we shouldn't be. Jesus says, I'm at the right place at the right time doing the right thing, because we're moving in the natural and God is moving in the spirit, and we don't know what he's up to. And the fact of the matter is, it's not God, what are you doing? Are you doing something? God's like, no, pay attention to what I'm doing. So our first problem with the harvest is we got to be able to see it now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, what you looking at? It might be your harvest. So a picture of this would be, last week I had some friends come and stay at my house, and I went to the refrigerator, opened it up, realized I had not done an Instacart or shipped order. Anybody else use the apps to do your grocery shopping? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do an order. We don't have any food. We're going to have to go out to eat, a.k.a. I ain't cooking, honey. Right? So my friend goes, she's from Thailand. She's so sweet. She's got the cutest little accent. She's always like, no, I'll find something to make. I have like a pineapple, some five-day-old shrimp, and some minute rice, right? I'm like, this is not going to work. And yet, Emily, I brought a little video, because what I think was nothing in the refrigerator, she makes an entire amazing feast full on the whole table. I opened up the refrigerator and I saw nothing. She opened up the refrigerator and she saw a feast. A lot of times we're looking at our future and we don't see anything in our future. God's looking at our future and he says, I have a whole harvest sitting right in front of you right now. You just don't know how to put it together. You don't know how to pull it out. We have to see it to be it. We got to get out of seeing in the natural and look at seeing in the spirit. And so a lot of us might be thinking, okay, I got these kids. I got to raise these kids. I got to go to work. I got to deal with this spouse of mine because, why do I all do all the giving in the relationship and they do all the taking in the relationship? P.S., why does each spouse think they do all the work? Because if we were all doing all the work, then we'd be able to relax. How about we just have the kids do the work? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? So we have all of these frustrations. We open it up and we see life is empty, and God's like, wait a minute. Let's turn on the light in the refrigerator, because you are married and you have somebody to spend your life with, and no matter who you spend your life with, it's going to be work. So just be glad for what you have. You got somebody who's with you, somebody who married you, somebody in your house, somebody who said I do. Somebody single right now. I don't have any of that. Baby, be blessed. You get to go to bed when you want. You get to go up when you want. You get to spend what you want. We got to see the blessing where we are. We've got the kids. We were able to have a baby. I haven't been able to have a baby. God's letting you sleep. We got to be able to see the blessing. My daughter Ashton will go with me to Goodwill because she likes to go thrifting. She says, Mom, do you want to go shopping? I tell her I'm busy. She said, Mom, do you want to go thrifting? I'm like, let's go. That's my budget, baby. Let's go, let's go. And when we go to Goodwill, she walks in and she's like, oh, how about this thing and how about that thing? And she puts together the cutest outfits for like 12 bucks. I have one outfit that she picked me out there. Every time I wear it, people compliment me. Where did you get that? My daughter got it at Goodwill for literally $12. Now, I walk in Goodwill and I immediately get overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to, I just follow her around because there's too much there for me to see a harvest. Guys, sometimes we don't harvest because we don't recognize it. We have to be able to see what the Lord has given us and what the Lord has put in front of us. We have to be able to see according to Ephesians 1 with the eyes of the Spirit. I brought a picture with me of a farming field. And it looks like a field that's got nothing to offer. Actually, it's a field that has just been planted. You see, a planted field looks a whole lot like barren ground. And if we want a big harvest starts small. It says in John 4, I want to read it to you. It says, the earth produces the crops all on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. What does that mean? You have put your seed in the ground, and I know you're waiting on it. And I know it might look out in life like it is dusty, it is barren, you didn't get the promotion, they pushed you over, they pushed you out of the way, they aren't paying attention to you, you're low on energy, your body is not feeling good, you might even be depressed. You might be looking at your life and it looks a lot like that barren ground. I'm here to tell you, your life is not a barren ground. Your life is a planted ground. Your life is a field. It has been tilled. You put your seeds in the ground. And now that you have put your seeds in the ground, God is at work. He is doing the work. And he is doing the work for you because he has called you to rise up. You are a chosen person, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation to rise up, to stand in the power, the influence, the place, and the destiny that God has called you to. There is an entire harvest, a spiritual harvest on the inside of you that God wants to manifest through you. But we have to be able to wait for the time in the field. And I'm here to tell you, stop waiting 4 months until harvest. God has called for the time, and the time is now. He's calling his people to rise up and step in. Everybody who is a seed sower, give God a hand clap of praise. Why is it taking so long? There's the problem. We can't see it. And then there's the process. That is, the harvest's work. We gotta bring it in. Tell your neighbor, bring it in, baby. Bring it in, baby. You see, why is it taking so long? The Bible says in Genesis 8:22, there's seed, we plant it. There is time, we gotta wait on it. And then there is harvest. So when the harvest comes in the field, a lot of times we think, okay, well, I planted my seed. Come on, God. Like I gave at church, come on, God. Like I did an offering, come on, God. Well, that is part of it, but then there's a little bit more. You see, when I was a kid, my dad worked at Chrysler for our Florida campuses. That's a factory here in town. And in the 80s, y'all don't do the math on my age, that is rude. The factory closed down for like 8 years. Everybody got laid off, and there was about 20,000 guys in our zip code looking for a job, and there weren't 20,000 jobs. So we didn't get to eat a lot of meat in our family, but we did have a garden in the backyard. And so my house, if you wanted to go out to play, there was a pick-to-play program. What does that mean? That means we had to go out into the garden. We're shucking corn today, huh? You made it easy, because last night we had green beans. My mama would hand each one of us a 5-gallon bucket. We would have to go out to the garden with an empty 5-gallon bucket and come back with a full 5-gallon bucket. I was the oldest kid, so I always got snap peas or green beans. The younger kids got like cucumbers and tomatoes. It was way easier to fill the buckets. So then once the bucket, you couldn't give the bucket to mom until the bucket was prepared. Remember the empty refrigerator? You can have the harvest in your hand, but if it's not ready to eat. You can have the harvest in your hand, but if it's not ready to distribute, if it's not ready to spend, if it's not usable, everybody say usable. So I would have to sit and I would have to snap 5 gallons worth of green beans or 5 gallons worth of snap peas before I could go play. My friends would literally come to my house. My mom was so smart, child labor for free. They would want to go play, so they would sit down at the bucket. We'd be outside at the picnic table on our carport. We'd be snapping the peas and throwing them to the side, and that way I got to play sooner. The way I like to say it, it's a very, very spiritual principle, and it is this. It ain't gonna pick itself. The harvest for many of us is in the field. But the relationship isn't gonna pick itself just because we sowed a seed one time. The bank account is not going to fill itself just because we sowed a seed one time. God might say, you sowed a seed, here's your idea. Here's what I want you to do with it. Here's where I want you to invest it. Here's how I want you to work it. He doesn't always harvest the way we think of harvest. And then there is so much harvest. There's some work. Everybody say, there's some work, but say it's worth it. And then we get looking at the work and we start to think, well, how am I supposed to do all this and all that? Well, God tells us in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. He says, and then he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He knows we've got churches full of seed sowers who are not yet harvesting. So what do we have to do? Well, he tells us right there, the next word is ask. Ask the Lord of what? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest field. Y'all, at our city, Pastor Ree is the campus pastor. I don't know if everybody knows Pastor Ree, so I borrow a picture. This is Pastor Ree. She is glamorous, right? I know. They asked her to go preach a wedding in Italy, and so she gladly said, well, let me check my schedule. Yes, I'm going. Right? And I'm like, nobody's ever asked me to preach a wedding in Italy. I'm all like, they're like, hey, can you preach a wedding in DeSoto? I want to go to Lake Como, like Pastor Ree. Y'all, she takes off one weekend every October. Can you guess why? To go to the Grammys, to go to a gala, to go to some fancy, she's beautiful, she looks like a Barbie, she's smart, she's intelligent. I'm sure she's going somewhere like that. Nope. Her daddy owns a farm, and her dad is able to plant the seed by himself. But when it comes to harvest time, he knows he can't harvest it by himself. So he reaches out to his son, Goat, and his daughter, Ree, and he said, hey, guys, I need you to come to the fields, and I need you to help me bring in the result of the seed I planted by myself. What am I here to tell you today? I'm here to tell you that your harvest is so big, you shouldn't be able to bring it in by yourself. According to Matthew 9, you're going to have to ask for some help to help bring in everything that the Lord has in store for you. And if you think this is a materialistic message, baby, you need to get your head out of the gutter. Because the Lord's blessings are financial, absolutely. That's biblical. Two-thirds of the parables in the Bible are about money. But baby, there's so much more to life than money. Oh, the best blessings from the Lord are priceless. They are the things you cannot buy. They are restored relationships. They are kids coming back. They are health you don't deserve. They are time that you don't deserve. They are opportunities that you shouldn't be given. They're being able to go to Italy, having somebody pay to let you preach a wedding and see the world. God pays you in the priceless. We have to be able to see it. It's part of the process. Everybody say the process. The problem we have to see at the process is it takes work. And the process is, while it takes work, we want to give up. Y'all, sometimes people stop coming to church and I get so sad. Because in the spirit, I can see them like me coming to the edge of the stage. Hold on, I'll do it over here so y'all can see it. Me coming to the edge of the stage. It can get a little bit scary, right? If somebody gets too close and they get right here on the edge. And I start to think, oh my gosh, they're about, like you can see it in the spirit. They're about to break through. And then you just can't find them. Where did they go? Where did they go? They were right here, diving off into the deep end. You could see that God had so much. I remember a guy, I won't say his name, years ago. He was looking for a wife and looking for a wife and looking for a wife. He literally was gone 2 weeks. Week three, this beautiful blonde woman walks in. She loved everything he loved. She acted like he acted. We're like, where's this guy? This is his wife. And he never got to meet her. Galatians 6:9 says it this way. Don't let us become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if what? All campuses, read that. If we do not give up. Y'all, I was on TikTok and I saw the cutest little boy. He had been harvesting so hard. You can play that with no audio. Turn that audio off for me. He was harvesting so hard. That's us. We're just there. We're just working it. It's like, oh, Jesus, I've done everything I can. I don't know what else I can do. Oh, Jesus is here. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. right? That's what I want to do. I want to be the person tapping you on the shoulder while you're asleep at the wheel, going, I'm just cruising through life on cruise control. I don't have any emotions. I'm not really feeling. I put guards on my heart, and I've really shut down. I don't even expect thing from God anymore. Baby, turn your faith switch back on. Start expecting from God. He has a harvest. I'm your wake-up call over here right now to tell you that victory requires process. And sometimes it requires a battle. Because like when I was out here when I was a kid in the garden didn't grow itself, right? We planted the seeds, but then I had to go out and I had to weed the garden. And we would have to hoe the rose in the garden. And we would have to go get the bugs off the leaves because the bugs would try and eat our harvest. There was this bug at our house in Florida. We have this big tree in Florida. Like I can't get my arms around it. And all of a sudden, the leaves all started, like, falling off and having all these holes in them. And so we finally had to call a horticulturalist, and I don't even know if I can say that word. I'm not even that smart. Horticulturalist. And say, what's wrong with the tree? They said, there's a bug so small you can't see it. And it's eating your tree. It's going to kill it. I think some of us have things so small. The Bible says little foxes spoil the vine. Some of us allow little aggravations, little frustrations, getting offended at church. They asked me to serve. I don't like that lady. She's a hypocrite. Y'all, of course the church is full of hypocrites. We're human. Right? What we like today, we don't like tomorrow. And what we said today, we change our mind tomorrow. Oh my gosh. We are full of imperfect people. But thank God, God loves perfect people because that is exactly how we qualified. We have to fight off the things we can't see, and we have to fight off things that are super cute and fuzzy. My neighbor planted a garden here in Missouri, and we kind of live in the woods, like in the sticks. And my husband puts out corn feed so that we can see the deer in our yard. They are so pretty. You watch our Instagram like any given day, and you'll probably see a deer. So the deer are there, and our neighbor the other day, we never even really thought about our neighbors because she came over, and she's like, you know, let me preface this. I have the nicest neighbors. They are so great. They have a perfect yard. My yard is mostly rock. Their yard is totally perfect. They have a garden. They eat out of their garden. They're amazing. They're like the perfect people. And then like I saw a glaze come over her face. She's like, you know, these deer. You know, I've always appreciated Bambi, but if Bambi comes in my yard and eats my tomatoes one more time, I'm going to kill Bambi. Sometimes things are cute for a season. But then there's a season those things that we thought were cute weren't fit for our life anymore. Sometimes we got to watch who's eating our harvest. We got to watch how much we let the kids drain our bank account. We got to watch how much we're spending on certain things because God might be trying to bring us a harvest so that he can give us something, but we're letting the little foxes spoil the vine. Turn to the person next to you right now, all campuses, and say, hey, Foxy. And I know we can get weary in well-doing, but you guys, it is so worth the wait. And sometimes we get a little snappy, right? We go like, oh, well, why'd they get their harvest and I didn't get my harvest and I don't like about their harvest and we're all jealous and feisty. No. Slow down just 1 minute. We were talking about harvest and I brought up tomatoes because if you plant a tomato seed, a tomato seed is pretty small. And if you plant a tomato seed, it only takes like 60 to 100 days, like 3 months, for a tomato plant to grow, sprout fruit, and the fruit to ripen. A tomato plant's going to give you, 10, 20 tomatoes. You get a harvest pretty quick. Like you're eating burrata and tomato salad just like 3 months from the time you plant the seed. So what happens is we watch a friend plant a seed, we watch a friend get a harvest, and then we get all like green with jealousy and covetousness and anger and jealousy. By the way, God can't bless that. It holds our harvest off. Then we get all sassy and mean about it. But what if? Can I just put something in your head right now? What if God wants you to plant a bigger seed? Maybe like an avocado. Right? An avocado seed's a little bit bigger. And if you plant your avocado seed, like, Lord, you told me to do something I never do, and I did. I done did what you told me to do, Jesus. Now what's the deal? Because I put my seed in the ground, and I haven't seen nothing yet. They're eating tomatoes. I ain't got nothing. I was wanting guacamole by now. You know, if you plant an avocado seed, you're not going to see anything for a year, for two, for three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Let me ask you this. What seed did you plant 13 years ago? You might not remember, but God does. 13 years later, after you plant the avocado seed, the avocado finally starts to produce fruit. What, you're going to get 10, 20 avocados like tomatoes? Oh, no, my friend. The avocado tree yields about 300 avocados a year. You don't get 300 avocados for 1 year. You get 300 avocados a year for between 200 and 400 years. The average of that is what, 300 years. 300 avocados a year for 300 years. You don't get 10 to 20 tomatoes. You get 90,000 avocados. What if God said, you've planted your seed and it's been a little while, but I don't have a small tomato harvest for you. I have something bigger. I have something better. Matter of fact, this harvest is so big, it's not just for you 300 years. It's for you and for your children and for your children's children. It's not just a blessing. It's a generational blessing. It's a legacy blessing. It's a blessing that your children be able to walk in and stand on your shoulders for because you planted a seed and God gave you a huge generational harvest. We're all upset about the wait, and God's like, but you don't know what I'm doing. I'm up to something so good. Y'all, one of the problems with the process of the harvest is we finally stop waiting. We finally start getting our harvest and we start to thinking, oh, this is mine. I mean, I'll be generous with it as soon as I have enough. I have a friend who runs a mastermind with millionaires and billionaires. And we were talking about masterminds and how they work, and he said, the most effective question I ever asked these guys, because I was really curious about the answer, was one short question, and I want to pose that to you today everywhere. Ferguson Fluorescent and Weldon. Here we are at Sunset in all Florida. How much is enough? It's the kind of question we got to kind of leave and sit there, right? Like, how much is enough? Because every time we start making more money, we have a bigger house payment, we have more cars, we have more payments. We had a 10-year-old car, so now we get a newer car, and the payment went up, and then the insurance went up, and it just kind of goes like this, to the point where even if you're a millionaire or a billionaire, not one of them was able to answer the question. How much is truly enough? God answers the question. In Matthew 9, verse 37, we just read it a minute ago. He said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful. He's got plenty. He's got plenty for us. And matter of fact, we serve such a plentiful God, when he gives to us, his plan is not to give us just enough to get by. God is not a survival God. He's not a survive God. He's a thrive God. And his sustenance plan is not just for you. It's for other people through you. And it's actually for you through other people too. But the way that river flows is there's a generosity that has to flow through us. And we have to learn generosity. It's not something we're born knowing. Ashton, she got reminded of this. We went with the kids and we went trick-or-treating and Liam had some candy and I said, hey baby, can I have one bite of your candy? I didn't even want the bite. I just wanted to see if he would give me the bite of the candy. And he goes, sorry, maybe tomorrow. And I thought, well, that's actually a really good answer. But my thought for it was when I remembered back when Ashton was a kid and she started telling the story. She goes, Mom, I remember one time when I had a whole meal and you had nothing. And she said, you wanted a bite. You said, can I have a bite? And I said, no. And you came over, and you just took my plate, and you walked away. It was food that I had bought, food I went to the store to get, food I had prepared, and dishes I was going to clean up. I just walked away, and Ashton said, where are you going? I said, if you wouldn't give me a bite, I'm going to take the whole thing. Do you want a bite? She said, I learned at that point, I'll never say no to share again. It's a heavy lesson. But how many times has God asked us to give somebody a bite? And we're so stingy with it. He's like, doggone it. I wanted to give you the whole stinking thing, but I can't trust you with the whole stinking thing because you won't give somebody else a bite. He tells us in Leviticus 23, he said, you reap the harvest of your land. Don't reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor, for the foreigner residing among you, for I am the Lord your God. Y'all, I supposedly have 56 seconds left. But I think this is one reason that God is actually blessing our church. Because he has been carving on us about generosity for a while, and this is such a generous church with such generous people, and we lead in generosity, and we're generous to our community, and we're generous to the people around us, and we're generous to people who are coming to churches we haven't even built yet. And it is because you have left the edges, and you have been generous, and you've been giving away a bite. You've learned your lesson about sharing, and the more you share, the more God can run through you, because God can bring it to you if he can run it through you. And I want to say thank you for being a generous church, and thank you for being a church that God can use. And my prayer is always, God, make me more generous. The more generous we are. Everybody say the process of the harvest. And the last thing I want to share with you is know that you are assured of the harvest. You don't have to hope for it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to be like, well, there went that seed. I wonder what's going to happen. No, a seed that leaves your hand never leaves your life. You're assured of a harvest. It says in Jeremiah 5:24, let us live in awe of the Lord our God, for he gives us rain each spring and fall, assuring us of a harvest when time is right. Y'all, I know a lot of people in these campuses. Y'all have planted when it was hard, and you didn't know what to do. And sometimes you planted your time, sometimes it's your talent, and sometimes it's your treasure. And sometimes it feels like it has cost us everything. But God says in Psalm 126, those who planted in tears will reap in joy. He has come to meet you, and he has bottled every one of your tears in heaven. And he wants you to know today, he has a harvest for you. Your harvest is closer than you think. He wants your eyes to be opened so you can see all the places that he's giving you harvest, both financially and the priceless. He wants you to not just watch it happen, but he wants you to be an active participant and be ready to put your hooks in and be ready to put your prayer in and be ready to ask God for more and be ready to ask people for help. Be ready for your harvest to be bigger than you are, because the problem has been we can't see it, but our eyes are being opened. The process took some time and we were about to give up, but God said, don't give up now. You're on the edge of the breakthrough. We're about to come through. And when he does, he wants you to know you are assured of that harvest. God has seen your seed. He is faithful. He does not lie. And he is true. It is a spiritual law. It is our right from heaven. Before I pray for you, one question. If the Bible says it, do you believe it? I tried to give you a ton of scripture today. All going back to John 4:35, do not say, it is 4 months, and then the harvest. For look unto the fields, they are white for harvest. It's your time. It's your time to pull it in. It's your time to believe. It's your time to step out in faith. It's your time to pray about it. It's your time to look for it. It's your time to recognize it. It's your time to be generous with it. It's your time to praise God for it. And as we do, I can't wait to see what all God's going to do through you. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're praying, Lord, tell me about my harvest. Show me my harvest. Show me how to harvest. Show me what to do with my harvest. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray over your harvest with you. Father God, I see almost every hand in this room raised. Almost every hand at the church is raised. Oh God, you've raised up a generous people. Oh God, the hearts, our cold, hard hearts that you have made warm and generous and loving again. God, thank you. If you can turn people like us, oh, what can you do with the rest of the world? And you want to do it through us, God. What a privilege. How amazing. And thank you. Thank you for your love that we do not deserve. And thank you for your generosity that we've been a little bit jealous with. But now, God, our open hands and open hearts and open eyes. Lord, open the eyes of our spirit so we can see what we have not seen. Open the eyes of our thankfulness so we can thank you for things that we've been taking for granted. Open the eyes to our refrigerators and our hearts that we can see what they are full of that we could not see before. Thank you for the finances. Thank you for the priceless. I speak to every seed that is in the ground that they have planted that they have not seen. We might have thought it was tomatoes, but it's avocado. We might have thought it was for a moment, but it's for generations. God, I ask you to let those seeds develop good roots, bring up fruitful trees, fruitful harvest that is so big they cannot bring it in by themselves. God, we will ask for help. We will bring it in, and we will leave the edges for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today? Amen.